Good morning. How y'all doing? It is great to be with all of you. This is your first time here. We are thrilled to have you. It is an honor and a privilege to be gathered here this morning. We are in week two of Come Alive, and if you missed last week, you can go online to our website or find the podcast on iTunes to listen to it. And last week, we said that to know Jesus is to come alive, and to be his disciple is to live a life differently, with a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of community, and a lifestyle of mission. And we clarified that a lifestyle isn't just a flash in the pan or a mere attempt at something, but a lifestyle is a pattern that emerges from the attitudes and decisions that characterize our life. And we shared how a lifestyle of worship emerges when we live by faith and we choose to repent and turn away from a sin and disobedience. And today we're going to be looking at a lifestyle of community. We're going to look at the origin of community. Like, where does this even come from? We're going to look at the beauty of community when you see people living it out. We're going to look at the power of community that it can have on individual and others' lives. And for me personally, of all of these, the lifestyle of community has probably done more in my life to grow me, to shape me, to refine me, to encourage me, to keep me pursuing Christ. But I had so much to learn that I didn't even know. We're going to talk more about that. Let me pray to get us started. Lord, I thank you this morning. Lord, you're the one who invites us to follow you. God, you invite us to place our faith and trust in you. Lord, you invite us to your community. God, I pray this morning that you would make the beauty of your community real to us again, maybe for the first time. Lord, I pray that your power and your presence of your spirit would be here. Lord, that it wouldn't be my words, it'd be your voice speaking to each one of us, Lord, that we would hear and see afresh. God, we want to see your community, Lord, the one that you invite us into. We thank you for this time. In your name, Jesus, amen. Community is really about common unity. I mean, that's where the whole thing comes from. It's having unity together in common. And in today's day and age, there's so much division, so much divisiveness. I mean, in the last year alone, there's so much tension and division in our own country, in our own society, let alone even the world. And even in the Christian community, in the last year, in the last couple of weeks, there's been a bunch of statements and stuff made, what you should believe, what you shouldn't, and it's just dividing. It creates tension in all this. And one of the things that I don't think helps us is this idea of relativism, that what's right for you is right for you, what's right for me is right for me, because that's just splintering and fracturing. And it causes it even become harder to find who is community, who do I agree with, where do we line up? And what's interesting is if you look at where community comes from, for me, I came from a Christian church, this is my background, and I actually was super judgmental. Just like the fracturing we talk about in the world, the divisions, the divisiveness, that was my life. I thought that way, I just consumed and lived the way the world did. Grew up in the Christian church. At 15, I felt like God called me to preach, which for me was like, no way, I'm done. Church was boring. I thought it was filled with people that are boring. They don't know how to have fun. They're kind of killjoys. I didn't want to hang out there. And preaching was like church for life. No, thank you. I don't want anything to do with that. So I ran from God. I poured myself into sports. I poured myself into getting physically fit, into partying, drinking, drugs, you name it. Ran from God all the way through high school. All the while, he was pursuing me. And I started my college career at Western Michigan University. In my freshman year, God called me out again, and he said, are you done running? Are you done running? And that's a message that might resonate with some of you here this morning. Are you done running? Are you willing to surrender to Christ in your life? And so at that moment, I finally surrendered. I was like, all right, Lord, I don't even know why you would still want me with everything I've done in the last 4 years, all the sin I've done. And he's like, you belong. I love you. You're mine. And that's the message he speaks to each one of us. And so I moved into going, what does it look like to have my world not be about myself at the center and the world that I created, but to say Christ is at the center, and what does it look like to join his community? To truly have a lifestyle of worshiping him, I began to engage with. But the idea of diving into his community, I was honestly pretty terrified of. I was fearful of it. I thought it'd be boring. I'm not going to have any fun. This is just awful. And I struggled to make that transition for a couple years and slowly began to make it as God was revealing to me. And I interacted with other Christians for the first time, brothers and sisters. And I'm like, oh my word, they're awesome. Like, they're hilarious. And they have a ton of fun. And they're more free without liquid courage. Just self-content as who they are, and they don't care because they're all for Christ. And I was just blown away. And so God started to refine me. And it really came to the head, this idea of community, when I went my junior year and I transferred to University of New Hampshire to study outdoor education. And when I got there, it didn't take long. I'm walking across the campus, and this guy walks out in front of me, and I could tell he was a freshman because his backpack was brand new. But it was this black North Face backpack. It was amazing. It wasn't like a school bag. It was like this thing is ready for hiking. And then he had attached to it two red carabiners like this. Yeah, nice. That's what I was thinking. $120 bag, $30 carabiners. And then I'm sitting there looking at this guy and going, you're a total poser. You don't even know how to use this stuff. And I just started ripping him, like from just in my head, just tearing this dude apart. About he doesn't know what he's doing, why does he even have this? Like just ripping on this guy. Like no love at all. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit, I feel like God was just speaking to me and he said, he could be a brother in Christ. Pray for him. And instantly I was just crushed. Had to repent. I was like, oh my word. So I just started praying, Lord, will you bring this kid? I don't know who he is. Will you bring him before your throne? Set him on fire for you. Save him. I don't know what you want to do. Lord, do. And I look up and he's gone. And I was like, oh my word, it was an angel. And then I looked over and I saw him going in a building. And I was like, oh. So that was it. I just kind of prayed for him. But I was like, I have a red carabiner to this day above my desk at home. Just as a reminder, like I never know who. And I love that it's a carabiner because they connect you. Like you never know who Christ is pulling to himself and wanting to connect. But it challenged me from top to bottom. And that thing that it said, he might be a brother in Christ, that stuck with me. The in Christ. Because if you want to know the origin of community, it's right there. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Genesis chapter 1. If you don't have one, we'll have it on the screen. If you didn't get a free one or you want a Bible, we have free ones at the Info Center. We'd love for you to grab one before you leave today. Last week, we gave out like a case and a half of Bibles. It was awesome. We have plenty more to go, so feel free to grab one. Genesis 1, this is what it says. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image. Let us in our image. Catch that? See, this is why the God of the Bible is so different. People say God is love. Yeah, that's great. How could he be love if he has no one to love? Well, the God of the Bible is a trinity. He's triune. He's three distinct persons in one being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's only in that relationship, that community, that you could actually have love. And this is the God who created everything. The origin of community is God himself. He said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The origin of community is God himself. He exists in community, a loving community. He created us to know him. And the beauty of that is even revealed in not just saying that he made man and woman, but the order of it. He made man. And then he created woman. And in the meantime, he creates man, and he says this. In verse chapter 2, verse 18, he says, the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. It's not good for him to be alone. There's a show out right now called Alone. Anyone seen this on the History Channel? Anyone know what it is? It's like where they take 10 contestants, they give them a short list of things they can take, they go in the woods, and they're dropped off on Vancouver Island, and it's basically the last one standing, surviving, lives. And wins $500,000. And you're given a buzzer. You have to film yourself every day with a camera that you're your own camera person. And then you have like, you can tap out anytime. When it's too tough, when you're starving, you don't have food, you're cold, you're hypothermic, whatever, you can bail. And I love this show. The first year it went 66 days. And then it was like 70 some, then 80 some. And the people who don't make it, the people who last the longest, it does come down to like physical challenges sometimes. Like they're literally starving. At 80-some days. They have no food, they can't fish, they're whatever. But a lot of the people that bail in the beginning, most of them are not because of the physical challenge. It's the emotional. It's the mental. It's that side of where they say over and over in front of the camera, we were not made to be alone. They realize being alone and isolated from human contact is so much that they long to get back to their family. They long to get back to their community. And I love that that show is just bringing it out. It wasn't their intent. But it's revealing that humanity was not made to be alone. And so what did God do in this? He had man. He says it's not good for him to be alone. He brings all the animals before him. And then he takes Adam, and he puts him to sleep, and he takes a rib out of him, and he makes a woman. And then he realizes, like, this is it. We're in community. It was first community with God, and then God said, you need each other. You have to have me, and you have to have each other. That was God's intent. So what did this look like as history unfolded? As history unfolded, one of the most poignant moments of understanding this is actually in the Israel is in Egypt, and God uses Moses and calls them out. Do you remember that? There's 10 plagues. So God uses Moses to pull the Israelites out of Egypt. He uses 10 plagues against the Pharaoh to let him go. And each time he went to him, he ends up saying these words. He says, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so that they can worship me. Let my people, my community, go so they can worship me. Last week we talked about that lifestyle worship. Like God wants himself at the center. And when he took them out and delivered them, he took them to Mount Sinai and he gave them the 10 commandments. The interesting thing about that is the first four commandments are all about the vertical, about God. Like you should have no other God before him. Don't use his name in vain. And then the last six are really about horizontal relationship with each other. Don't lie, don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Like this is God saying, it wasn't just law, like you gotta obey all this. This was, I'm telling you how to live. Love me, lifestyle worship. Love each other, lifestyle community. And this is what he set up. He literally put his tabernacle in the middle, this tent of meeting, and this is where God is, where his presence reigns, and he had all the community of Israel live around this tent. And the same thing happened when we went to the promised land, as they put a temple in the center, and all of God's people inhabited the land surrounding Jerusalem, this area. So God was always like, this is right. I'm in the center. My community, my triune, I am God in community. Father, Son, and Spirit. We live in your midst and you live with us. This is what community is supposed to look like and be. But Israel didn't last long and they started to fall away. They started looking at all the other gods in the world, pursuing all these other things. And then there became division. Like their worship of God broke and then their interaction with each other broke down to the point of civil war. To where 10 tribes in the north were against 2 tribes in the south. And God was just like, man, you were supposed to be my blessing, my people to the whole earth so that people could see how you live. And they would recognize that I exist. And they missed the mark. And God said, he had the 10 tribes be taken away by the Assyrians. And then Judah and Benjamin were taken away by the Babylonians. But in the midst of all that, God said, you know what? I'm not done with you. Because I said, I will bless all nations through you. And so he said, the Messiah is coming from the king and lineage of David, that this savior king is going to come to the world. And literally, it's God himself coming. We talk about this story in the beginning of John at Christmas time every year where it says, he, talking about God, came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So Christ comes into the world. He is the Messiah, this long-awaited King and Savior, who's going to show the world what it looks like to worship the Father, to love God and love one another. And that's what he does. He starts calling people, follow me. We saw that last week where Peter even began to follow him. And God was doing amazing things through Christ. Christ is on the earth. He's doing miracles. He's healing. He's teaching. Sermon on the Mount. He goes up on the mount and he teaches. And it's really almost like a reteaching of the Ten Commandments. Because in there, he doesn't like get rid of the old law or the Ten Commandments. He actually upholds it. He says, you've heard it said that you shouldn't murder one another. Well, if you hate someone in your heart, you've already done it. He's raising the bar. It's not just physically if you murder someone. It's about your heart. It's about how you love and think about one another. That lifestyle, the attitude and the decisions we make. It's not just action. It's how we think about each other. He says, you know you're not supposed to commit adultery. Well, if you look lustfully on someone, you're already doing it in your heart. And so Jesus is just raising the bar. And in fact, he ends up being asked at one point in his ministry, like, how do you summarize the Old Testament law? And he says, it's this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Love God and love your neighbor. And at the end of his life, he said, and love each other. It's not just your neighbors, like literally love each other. And so he came and lived in the midst and draw people to himself to show us how to live. And then he died on the cross for us, upholding the law. He said, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to uphold the law. He died in our place so that we would be free to live this way. Why? Because after he rose, he was going to give his Holy Spirit to empower us to live the way he did. And this is what the disciples began to believe, those who followed Christ. Even John, who wrote this book, he summarized the purpose of why he even wrote this book at the end. In John 20, he said, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. That you would have life by the power of his name. I love this. This is why Christ came. And actually, he was point blank that question. Like, why are you here? Like, why are you really here? And this is what he said in the ESV, John 10. Do we have it? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And he continued on in verse 16, and this speaks of us. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, Gentiles, the whole world that's still existing. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. This was God's purpose. This is why Christ came, so that he could call us in to be his community with him. One shepherd, one flock. And so John kind of summarized, that's what he was getting. And then Peter, the one who we talked last week, who had faith and walked on water, but then denied Christ three times, even to a little girl, saying, don't you know Jesus? On the night that he was to be crucified, and Peter's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And afterwards, Christ said, do you love me? And kind of reinstated him. Well, this Peter, who was a bit timid in that moment, here he stands up. 40 days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out on his church, 120 believers in Jerusalem. The Spirit of God, this gift is given, and they start speaking in other languages. There are people from all these different parts of the world there hearing them speak in their own native tongue, and they're like, what is going on? This is crazy. These people are drunk. And Peter stands up and he's like, we're not drunk. Let me tell you what happened. And he tells the story of Jesus and he summarizes it at the end by saying, so let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And for some of you may be sitting there today going, I'm kind of in that. I don't know, what do you do with this? Kyle said last week that to recognize Jesus for who he truly is, the Son of God, the only right response is to worship him. Faith and repentance. And this is what Peter says. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promises to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have ever been called by the Lord our God. And that's still true for us today, that God is calling people to himself. And it says in that moment, he kept on teaching, and then 3,000 people placed their faith in Christ and believed. This was the start of the church. Went from 120 in one day to 3,000 with Christ at the center. And this is what's amazing, is listen to how beautiful this is. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to the fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, which we're going to have an opportunity to partake in here later, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. It's almost like what Sam shared. His slice was awesome. How he shared at the end all the ways the body of Christ, the community, was caring for his own needs. From studying and getting a car fixed, liking his shoes. It's just beautiful. And this is what the church is. This is what it started in Acts. And it says people were added to them every single day. I think they were added to them every single day because of how beautiful it was and how otherworldly it was. And they saw that at the center of it, it wasn't a man or a people or a group. They saw that this can only happen with God at the center. He's got to be true. He is at the center of what he was doing. And this continued to live out in the early church until 300 years later. There's such a community, so amazingly loving those around him, that even the emperor of Rome, 300 years later,
the emperor of Rome, Julius. This is a quote. He says, "For it is a disgrace to us that because of the Galileans," talking about the Christians, "no Jew has to beg. And they are ready to not only take care of their own poor, but ours as well." This is the Roman Empire. The emperor of Rome going, the Christians are out-loving. And it's making us look bad. We can't care the way they care. Like, this was the community, and people were being drawn into it. What would it look like for you to commit to community this year, this week? What about today? At New Life, we want authentic relationships as a way of life. We believe the gospel takes root in our lives, and we come authentically to God and one another. We speak the truth in love. We confess our sins to one another, and we pray for each other. We rejoice together. We mourn together. We apologize and forgive, and we build one another up in all that we say and do. This is what we want to live. Why? Because abundant life is found in Christ, and abundant life is lived in community. Christ came to give us abundant life. We find that in him, in worship of him, and we live it in community. It is so much richer together than apart. There's a quote, and this is what's beautiful about the early church. This is by D.A. Carson, an author, theologian, pastor. He says, "Ideally, the church itself is not made up of natural friends. It is made up of natural enemies. What binds us together is not common education, common race, common income levels, common politics, common nationality, common accents, common jobs, or anything of the sort. Christians come together not because they are from a natural community, but because they have been saved by Jesus Christ and owe him a common allegiance. In the light of this common allegiance, in light of the fact that they have been loved by Jesus himself, they commit themselves to doing what he says, and he commands them to love one another. In this light, they are a band of natural enemies who love one another for Jesus' sake." And I talked about in the beginning how when I went to UNH, God started to stir this in my own life and teach me what community really meant. And when I went there, this is how I saw people. Do you have that, the one with the bonded set and the centered set? This is an image theologians use. And when I went to UNH, I had this idea that you fit in my world in Christianity because of what I saw or what I thought. Friendship, if you belonged, like it was like, if you fit with me, okay. What Christ was showing me at UNH was, no, it's not about in your circle. It's about, I'm at the center and are people following me? I'm the one building the community, Christ says. I'm drawing them to me. And you can get in a community like this and it looks all great and it's perfect and it fits you and you feel like you fit and it's dead. There's no life. It's not vibrant. Vibrancy is pursuit of Christ. And this is what Christ taught me out there, is beyond if I got along with someone, or we studied the same major, or we liked the same, we were from the same social economic class or ethnicity, whatever it was called, we are running the same. You see, Christ is where we fit. If we're looking around and judging and going, do we fit? Does this make sense? You're gonna miss it. Christ is saying, you came to me, you fit. You belong, they belong. Follow me. And this is the group, if we can show the group picture, these are the guys that I ended up getting in community with out there. Ran with them all the way through college, which I was only a junior at the time, so it was 2 years. Really, some of these guys, 3 semesters. We still meet almost every single year to encourage and spur one another on in the faith. This was from June this year, in the middle of New York. And these guys, they live in Maine, New Hampshire, Michigan, Washington, and Argentina. And we still get together. You see, you guys are in a season of life right now where this fall, you may meet people who you run after Christ for the rest of your life with, if you'll give them a chance. Because when I first met these guys, almost every single one, I said, no. Nah, not for me. They're a little weird. I don't like them. I judged them all. No joke. The guy in the white, Nathan, he became one of the great friends. I have another picture here, us on a mountain together. Look at this. Awesome. Yeah. This guy, we started lifting weights together, training together as a senior. I lived off campus. I was in his dorm so much, showering after lifting, that their entire floor thought I lived there. Not kidding. I run into them on campus or at Walmart, whatever, and they were like, hey, you live in our floor. I'm like, kinda. I mean, we did community together. My senior year, he invited me, because I lived out of state, to go do Thanksgiving with his family in Maine. Years later, his dad's a pastor. His dad married us, my wife and I. Amazing. The crazy thing is I was running with this dude for like 2 months in prayer meetings and small groups because I dove in. Even though I was like, this doesn't make sense. God was like, no, trust it. Just go follow me, follow me, follow me. And I followed him in a community and I got this great friend. And 2 months after I'm hanging with him and we've been hiking and doing all this crazy stuff, I'm at a retreat, like a fall retreat out in New Hampshire. And the second night I'm standing there and lo and behold, I'm in the hallway and guess who walked by me? The kid with the backpack. The kid with the backpack and the carabiners walked by me. And I literally fell into the wall and went white. And everyone was like, dude, you look like you saw a ghost. What's up? It was the first time I actually saw Nathan with his backpack. He was the kid with the North Face backpack and two red carabiners. This guy that I'm friends with life for, that God forged such a bond with. And my initial response was just ripping this dude apart. Internally, we can be so quick to judge. God calls us into community. First, it's a gap to trust him. Next is to trust him in his people. Because as you do that, you will come alive in ways that you didn't even imagine, that you couldn't even fathom. As Christians, it's not a question of, am I going to be a part of a community of faith? You already are. That's what it means to be a Christian. The question is, how am I going to live in this community of faith? And I challenge you to step out and go after Christ. And you'll see and hear on U of M campus, people say, that's closed-minded to just pursue and run with Christians. And there's people that have said, you know what? It's crazy if we believe this book, but we don't read it. I think it's just as crazy to say, I'm a Christ follower and not run with his people. That's not closed-minded, that's Christ-minded. He's at the center and he wants us to run together. And so I'm gonna end with this verse in 1 John that says, God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. We come alive and his love is in full expression when we live in community around him at the center. Will you run after him this year? Will you do it this week? I'll give you a couple practicals. Small group, serving, fall retreat. Those are great. You're struggling with this? Go read again, Acts 2:42 through 47. We just went through it. Romans 12, unbelievable for last week and this week. Lifestyle worship, lifestyle community. Yes, write this down. Acts 2:42, Romans 12. And if you're struggling with like, I don't want to give up my life, my community, what will people think if I start doing this way and pursuing God? 1 Peter 4. It even says in there that your friends will think it odd that you don't dive into the same flood of dissipation that you once did. When I broke out of the party life, that was it. People were like, you're crazy. You trust Christ. You will come alive in ways you can't even imagine. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, as your community. God, I pray that if there are men and women in this room who don't know you, that they would lean into you today and say they want to follow. Lord, if there are people longing for community, would you allow them to be knit in today to know where and how they belong, God? And would you allow all of us to come alive in and through you as we worship you and we live in community together? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.